Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you enjoyed the program before us with Pastor John Lutz, and had a good program, good Bible study, and I enjoyed listening to that. I got stuck in traffic on the way coming up here and down in Richfield off the highway, oddly enough. They're doing some paving and things and on Cleveland-Massillon Road, Brecksville Road area, and State Route 303. So if you're down in that area, it's kind of bumper to bumper in spots. But anyway, glad to be with you today. Hope you'll stay tuned to our program. And then also Pastor Andy Rusnak will be coming up after us from 2 o'clock until 2:30. And always a tremendous message that you can hear from Pastor Rusnak of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio. So as Pastor Lutz put it, the Baptist trifecta, and I get to be in the middle of it all. But glad to be with you here today. We're going to start our program, look at a couple of things here, and hopefully challenge you by looking at some statements here today of what some people have said about some social issues affecting us today, I guess, and kind of looking at it from a biblical point of view. Let's go ahead and open a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, not to tear down people, Lord, but to build people up through the Scripture and encourage people in their faith. Help us to point people to Christ and use the program today for your glory and for your purpose, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, too, this is a live program, and we also open up our phone lines during this half hour. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And whatever your question is about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. And, of course, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Our information on the church will be coming out at the end of the program, but I certainly encourage you to visit us if you like the program and you're not aware of it. We do have a Sunday night program as well. It's Late Night Live with Pastor Al every Sunday night on this very station, AM 1220, The Word, that is from 11 o'clock until midnight each Sunday night. It's not just a repeat of this program. It's an hour-long program, and we've been doing that one. Actually, I believe this Sunday will mark 9 years that we've been on the radio doing these programs. Not as long with our Friday afternoon program, but 9 years with our Sunday night program. And you can also check us out online at our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find some information about us, about me, about our church, about the program. And I, you know, takes time to keep up with it all. I'm the one that does it, so bear with me. I try to get the programs uploaded, and sometimes it may take a few days or a week to get them uploaded, but you can listen to past programs, either our Friday afternoon 1:30 to 2 o'clock program or our Sunday night 11 o'clock until midnight program. I upload those there, and I also have some selected pieces from programs on different topics that are there that you can listen to as well. If you don't want to listen to the entire program, you can catch some of my favorite selections that are on there. But encourage you to visit us at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link to our Facebook page, and you can follow that. I'm still trying to learn Facebook. I resisted doing it for a long time. And as I said, I believe I said once before, I was content to holler out the window, or holler out what I was doing as I was walking down the street. And I had several followers, at least one of which was a police officer. But no, that's we've got that. We've got a number of people who have liked the page and are following the page, and encourage you to go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. Click on the link to find our Facebook page for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, or I'm sorry, Live with Pastor Al. I believe is what the Facebook page is called, and you'll find it there, and We'd love for you to check those things out. Well, I want to get into something here today. And again, let me give out those phone numbers, 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number. You can give us a call with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. And that'll get you on the air here with your question about the Bible or current events with in light of God's Word. Looking at something here, and I'm going to read a statement here, and actually before I read it, well, maybe I think I'll read this. I'll just read a couple Bible verses here first, okay? And let's go back to Revelation chapter 21. I think I'm going to go in the reverse of what I looked at these. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8, there's a statement here in the Bible where it says in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then, of course, over into chapter 22 and verse number 15, it says, for without, meaning outside of the city of God, outside of heaven, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, there's a number of things in there, from whoremongers to idolaters to liars and different things, sorcerers, etc. But I'm going to focus on the word murderers there for just a minute, okay? And here's two passages right here, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15, that specifically tell us that murderers are not going to be in heaven, but rather they have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And that's because murder is a sin, and murder is actually condemned throughout the Bible. And in fact, after Noah and his family got off from the ark, God instituted capital punishment and said that murderers should have their lives taken from them. And so I won't deal with that so much. But what I want to try to make you aware of course, is that murderers are not going to heaven. And everybody would probably agree that murdering is a sin. A murderer is somebody who's guilty of a grievous sin, especially in the eyes of man. So I'm going to read some statements here. I'm not going to give you the name of the guy who said this. I don't want to influence you with the guy's name. Perhaps a little later on I might give the name. But I'm going to read the statement, a couple statements that he said, and I'm just going to substitute something in this statement with the term murderer or something, you know, variant on that. You ready? Here we go. This is what was said. Absolutely. I think it is going to be diverse from church to church. Every church has different opinions on the issue, and every murderer is different. And I think that to speak to that to the church, whatever kind of church you want to call it, that all are the same is not true. He goes on to say here, murderers of different types and sorts have to find a place of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe, like anyone else. The church should have the right to have its own convictions and values. If you don't like those convictions and values, and you totally agree with it, don't try and change my house. Move into your own. Find somebody who gets what you get about faith. And he went on to say that the issue of murder is complex. And he talks about how Paul spent a lot of time wrestling back and forth, trying to understand, should a woman wear a head covering? Should you cut your hair? Now, let me interrupt there for just a second there. Paul didn't wrestle back and forth. Paul spoke the word of God. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God gave Paul exactly what to say. Paul wasn't struggling back and forth trying to understand, should a woman wear a head covering or should you cut your hair? And I'm not going to talk about that right now, but Paul spoke the words that God gave him to speak. Now, he didn't grapple and wrestle back and forth with that, but he says, once you understand you're not God, you leave yourself an out clause to grow. And so this individual is asked if his position on murder, I'm substituting here again, has evolved. And he agreed that it has evolved and evolving. I think that where I am is to better understand that we, the church, bought into the myth that this is a Christian nation. And so he goes on to say that he does not believe that the United States was ever a Christian nation, and that basically that the nation should be neutral in the eyes of religion. But this is the thing. How would you like this statement as somebody that said his position on murder is evolved and evolving, and that murderers should find a church that reflects their views? Let me read some more here. This was in an interview in the Huffington Post recently, and he was asked, and again, I'll substitute the word murder here, or a variant thereof. He says, during an interview with the Huffington Post last Monday, he was asked by a viewer if he believes that murderers and the church can coexist. Absolutely, he replied. An obvious yes. The church ain't turning nobody away. How should the church and he was asked then, how should the church and the murderer community coexist? He says, I think it's going to be diverse from church to church. Every church has a different opinion on the issue, and every murderer is different. I think to speak that the church, and again, we read some of this, are totally the same is not true. He said that he believes, he goes on to say in this article, he believes that murderers should find congregations that affirm their lifestyle instead of trying to change biblical churches. Well, I would agree with that. I would hate that if somebody was a murderer, come in and try to change our church to be accepting of murder as being perfectly legitimate. But here he goes again. He says, murderers of different types and sorts have to find a place of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe like anyone else. And again, he goes on to defend the right of a church to be, take its own position there rather than somebody come in and try to change it. But again, when you put this word murderer in here, it seems pretty obvious how ludicrous his statement that murderers should find a church that reflects their views, and that that all murderers are different, and that the community of the murderers and the church can coexist. In other words, we can live with murderers in our midst. Now, wait a minute. The Bible clearly condemns murder, and we understand it's a grievous sin. So, what is the solution here? Well, Paul, who described himself as a murderer, and he was certainly instrumental in Christians meeting their demise, so he described himself as a murderer. The way that Paul was able to be accepted into the church is that he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had a change that I like how Pastor Lutz put it in the program before us. He met the Lord, and the Lord did not set him free. And as Pastor Lutz pointed out, if something's set free, it can be caught again. And he said that you know the truth, and the truth will make you free, meaning there's a change that takes place. Let me read this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And yeah, it doesn't say murderers in that particular passage right there, but we understand from other passages that murderers are linked into this. This is not an exhaustive list, but this is a list of various types of sins. And he says, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But then Paul goes on to write this in verse number 11, and such were some of you. I like that. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Here's what Paul is saying took place. Something happened in the lives of these sinners. They had a change that took place. They learned the truth. They learned the truth of God's word. They learned the truth of the gospel message. And the truth made them free. When they trusted Christ as their Savior, look what happened. They were washed. The blood of Jesus cleansed them from all sin. They were sanctified. They were set apart from the world and set into the body of Christ. They were justified, not in their own name, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It literally, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, I believe it is, the righteousness of God was placed upon them. And then the Bible says, this took place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God, as the Holy Spirit moved on the heart of these unsaved people, these sinners, people guilty of grievous sin. They come under conviction of their sin. They realize the wages of sin was death, not merely physical death, but they realize that because of their sin, they would be cast into the lake of fire. Paul, as a murderer, he recognized that he deserved the lake of fire, that he could not inherit the kingdom of God, that if he died in his sin, that he would be without the city of God. And so he recognized that. He trusted Christ as his Savior. He was washed, his sin was washed away by the blood of Christ. And then he was sanctified and justified in the name of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. And he was forgiven. God changed him and gave him a new spirit. He became, as he says later on over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 5 and verse 17, became a new creature. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He was a murderer in the eyes of God. But then in the eyes of God, when he trusted Christ as his Savior, his sins were forgiven. He became a new creature. The righteousness of God was put upon him. And so God could then say, and such were you. And to anybody that's trusted Christ as their Savior, and such were you. Now, I read those quotes there, and I've got a caller here I'm going to get to in just a moment, but I read those quotes talking, and I substituted the word murderer there. Let me go back and read some of those quotes again, and I'll read them with what was actually written there, okay? I won't read through all of them, but here it goes. He was asked in an interview with the Huffington Post last Monday if he believes that homosexuals and a church can coexist. Absolutely, he replied. An obvious yes. The church ain't turning nobody away. Then when he was asked how the church and the LGBT, if the church and the LGBT community could coexist, he said, I think it's going to be diverse from church to church. Every church has a different opinion on the issue, and every gay person is different. And I think that to speak that the church and whatever type of church are all the same is totally not true. He said he thought that homosexuals should find congregations that affirm their lifestyle. He said LGBTs are different types and sorts and have to find a place of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe like anyone else. Now, when we put murderer in there, we can see that what he said is total nonsense. Completely unbiblical. No, homosexuals need to get saved. The only way that the church and the homosexual community can coexist is by them searching and for truth. And if they come in searching for truth, they should be able to find it in a Bible-believing church. And then when they meet Christ as their Savior, well, let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. Starting verse 9 again, but know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Those last two cover much of the homosexual community right there. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor thieves, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you are sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They, like murderers, like thieves, like liars, like fornicators, like sorcerers, like unrighteous, like unbelieving, like revilers, like the covetous, like the drunkards, like the extortioners, they need to have their sins washed away by the blood of Christ. They need to be sanctified, set apart from the world. They need to be made free. They need to have a new spirit created with them when they trust Christ as their Savior, and they need to be justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. They don't need their sin to be coddled. They don't need their sin to be accommodated. Oh, yeah, here's so-and-so. He's a mass murderer, but we accommodate him. We're a mega church. We only lose a few people a year due to him, so we can live with that. We're a small church, so we can't handle a serial killer in our church, but This guy, he's only killed a couple of people, so we'll take him. He promised he wasn't going to kill anybody in our church. No, I'm sorry. You have to have a change. A church is to be made up of born-again believers. Sinners, yes. Whatever the type of sin was, they need to trust Christ as their Savior, have their sins forgiven, and be changed to be made free and made a new creature in Christ. Then they can be accepted into the church, and only then. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and we've got Nancy calling in and has been waiting patiently. Nancy, welcome to the program today.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call, and I was listening very intently about churches that condone homosexuality, because I went to, this isn't why I'm calling, but I just want to do a side note. I went to the gay pride parade under the direction, with Pastor Ernie Sanders and his group, and I had an opportunity to witness to a young lady who was, a lesbian, and she was saying, "Why do you hate me?" And I said, "No, I don't hate you. I hate your sin."
Right.
She says, "I go to a church, and they say that it's okay. It's okay for me." Mm-hmm. I said, "That is not a doctrinally correct church," and I tried to steer her, to one that really preached the Bible and mm-hmm. to truly could say. But the reason I was calling was I wanted to give a praise report. I was in a very, very scary.
Yeah. Can I interrupt just a second on that before we get to your praise report?
Uh-huh.
Thinking about that woman, I wonder what she would have said if you said, "Well, at our church, we endorse murder. We don't see anything wrong with murder." See, sometimes it's interesting when you substitute. Yeah. And that's what I was trying to do in the first half.
That's a good idea.
Substitute murder, something that everybody pretty much would agree is wrong with something that the Bible condemns equally, such as homosexuality.
That's a good way to
and ask if they'd accept that. So,
that's very thought-provoking. I run into any young lesbian ladies.
So you can try that in the future.
Incorrect church
or you can substitute thieves or lying or anything. But I got just a little over 2 minutes to go, and I apologize for that. So let's get to your praise there.
Yeah, real quick, I was in a potentially very dangerous situation yesterday. I was driving west from exit 11, going 90 west. And just as I entered the 90 West part of the highway, it was all one lane with mm-hmm. orange barrels on both sides. I had no wiggle room. I couldn't go anywhere. All of a sudden, there's this big metal pole, orange pole, with spokes coming out of it right in the center. It hit my car. It mm-hmm. totally smashed my window, my full entire window. And then the thing caught underneath my car, my car was dragging the pole, and my car sounded like it was falling apart, but I had nowhere to go. And
right.
So I just kept driving, I could barely see with this smashed window, but I just really, I was able to exit on to Route 45 and go to a gas station, and I really think this lady, her name was Amy Rich, that she must be a guardian angel. I want to know if there is such a thing, because she said, "I saw the whole thing. She was following me. She was right behind me. And she mm-hmm. said, 'I want to make sure you're okay.' And she called the police for me. And she said, 'I'll be a witness.' She said, 'I'll write out a police.' So I really think she was like my guardian angel. I mean, is it possible that she could be, or somebody that a guardian angel appointed to protect me? I don't know valid guardian angels are."
Yeah, let me touch on that, because we've got about a minute or so.
Okay.
Guardian angel, interesting concept. I believe that we do have what we call guardian angels, in the sense that Hebrews chapter 1 says this, talking about angels, at the end of the chapter in verse 14, it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Which tells us that there's angels who are going to help us from time to time as God sends them. Now, the individual in your case may have been a person that God put in the right place at the right time.
And she is born again.
Yeah, and all. But God sometimes will send angels to minister. I heard a missionary stuck in Africa somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, and some guy walked up with a plastic bag, and in it he had the part and the tool necessary to fix his car. And then after he fixed the car, he disappeared.
Oh,
You know, God does this. I wish we had more time, but we're out of time. And I want to thank you for listening. Thanks for our call. And God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.